Kevin and I were just talking a bit about Aaron Sanchez. We'll go back and revisit his performance. But, you know, the Jays left Toronto before the last road trip, and there was a real spring in their step. You know, I remember talking to Aaron after that Sunday game, and he was talking about how much he loved the havoc they were creating in the bases, how aggressive they were, and you really got a sense that this team, as I said, had a real spring in its step. There was still Vladdy had just come up. You know, it was a tough road trip, and they're certainly not the first team to go on the West Coast trip and have a tough road trip. But we heard some comments from Aaron in Anaheim about how the team had played. And look, I think like a lot of Jays fans, you know, Kevin and myself and fans out there, we know the Jays are sorting through things. But Aaron's comments kind of raised something in my mind, and that is, you know, we've talked about fans are going to have to be patient with the rebuild. Media are going to have to be patient with the rebuild. You guys are going to have to be patient with the rebuild. Is there a concern that maybe some of the players that are at key points in their career, that they might not necessarily be as patient?
I mean, I guess that's not something that, you know, I'm spending a lot of time and energy on. Spending most of my time focusing on that. We're all focused on getting better. I think that that kind of reaction is a reflection into one of the realities of what we're dealing with, that nobody likes to lose, whether it's the fans, whether it's the front office, whether it's the players. You know, the reality of the juncture that we're at is we're going to have weeks, nights where it's extremely encouraging and you feel positive. And then the nature of competing, the nature of professional sports are, they're going to be stretches when it feels just, you know, really terrible, and we're all frustrated and we all hate it. And we have, you know, as a leader, we don't have the luxury of wallowing in that. We got to pull back, look at a longer term trajectory, make sure good things are happening all the way from extended spring training through Lansing, through Dunedin, through New Hampshire, through Buffalo to here. And that we're doing everything humanly possible to control what we can control to get better. And that the trajectory is in that direction. So, yeah, I mean, Charlie, that's his, you know, Charlie's already addressed that, that a clubhouse is his area to manage. And I feel couldn't be more confident that he and our coaching staff are doing that. And we're moving forward. That's, you know, not reflecting on the night-to-night frustration.
Mark, what have you seen so far that you've liked from this team? Like that you know, at this stage of the season, that you look at it and you go, I like where we are in that area.
Well, again, I don't think it's a little bit challenging when you ask that after the week that we've had.
Sure.
Because obviously, you know, I'm impacted by that. You're impacted by that. And all your listeners are impacted by that. But I would say overall, the way these guys have, you know, a week ago, we could have had a very different conversation. And the way these guys compete, the focus that is occurring on a day-to-day basis, you know, with the coaching staff in cooperation with, you know, baseball operations front office, with our players, to do everything humanly possible to ensure that they're the best they can be and that they get better. That sort of, you know, cohesive, you know, collaboration and, you know, cooperation to use every resource possible to ensure our players are the best they can be. And obviously just the reality that we've transitioned a lot of young players at one time to a major league team, and that it's a good environment. You know, even when we lose, it's still a good environment, and that there's good work being done. And I think if we continue to stay that course, if we're tough enough and strong enough, and resolved enough to stick to the plan and not to panic, that good things are going to happen. History will tell you that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my own experiences have, you know, lead me to believe that and know that.
You know, speaking of your experiences, I know that you were on with Buck and Pat last night during the telecast, and I can't remember if it was Buck or Pat asked you about your experiences in Cleveland and you know, God, the treasure trove of young players that came up through the Indians organization and are still playing. And of course, that was sort of a lead into a conversation about, or I'd like it to be a lead into a conversation about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And I was just wondering, Mark, you know, is there a point, I don't know, date, at-bats, or whatever, number of at-bats, where there will be an evaluation of where Vladdy is at the major league level, where you thought he would be, and where you need him to be?
I don't know if I can say there's a point, and Ross would be a better point of contact for that. I think those conversations are nightly. They're day to day and week to week. And, you know, I think that once you make a decision to commit to bring a player up, that you understand that there's a process involved with that. There have been very few players in the history of the game who have just arrived and, you know, the magic dust just made them incredible players from day one. Part of transitioning to another level, and I think we've even had the conversation, is understanding that they're now going to be exposed to a different level of information, mm-hmm. a different level of ability to exploit and use that information and be attacked and attack hitters, different set of pressures, a different set of anxieties, along with a different set of resources, and it's a process of kind of helping them settle in. If you believe in the talent and the track record, then those things are going to translate over time. How fast that happens, that's the biggest challenge about where we are, Jeff, and Kevin already knows this, that, mm-hmm. you know, some players will adapt very quickly, and you'll very quickly see most players, by the way, end up going back to AAA. Not some, most end up going back. Jim Thome, I mean, great Hall of Fame players I've dealt with have gone back to AAA. And then, you know, in order to catch their breath, in order to digest what they've experienced up here, make an adjustment and then come back. And so in some players, it just takes a little more time. And all players, it takes usually, I think it's an average of 3 years before you see what their average performance is going to be at the major league level. So listen, as no one is more impatient than me. No one wants to get through this stretch faster than me. But I would just give you a reminder that, you know, you're subject to the emotion 162 days a year, mm-hmm. Because you're hearing feedback. I'm subject to the emotion because I'm a competitor and I want to win, but you've got to stay the course. You've got to stay true to the plan. It's a good one and the talent is there. And so just like with all players, Vladdy's talent will come through if we don't panic and if we do stay committed to helping him make adjustments and develop.
Yeah, Mark, you talk about the talent, and you know there's a name that keeps coming up on our show. We take phone calls here. Kevin Biggio is one name that a lot of people call in and want to know about. You know, with all the attention given to Bo Bichette and Vladimir Guerrero, has Kevin Biggio exceeded your expectations?
Well, I think, listen, that's the reality of where Kevin was drafted probably says he's exceeded everyone's expectations with how he's performed and where he's been. You know, that's not, I think, you know, we're in a business where people will, you know, really quickly like to say they're smarter than they are. You know, but it's all really all about the players. Never really as dumb as people think we are. And we're never as smart. We liked Kevin Biggio, for his ability and for his makeup and character. You know, his makeup and character has probably exceeded the high expectations we already have for him. And he's a good leader and a great teammate. And his ability certainly is beyond where we thought it would be at this point of his career. So excited about the progress, still a work in progress defensively. And, you know, obviously we're very young. We're not even a month into the AAA season, but really encouraged by the quality of the at-bats and really encouraged by the level of production he's having.
Yeah, now he's one of the guys that are trying to play multiple positions. What do you see the biggest challenge for him learning how to do that?
Well, he's been pretty darn good at doing it already. He went out in the outfield in Arizona, which is probably one of the hardest places to play the outfield with the sky out there, and immediately was pretty darn good. The challenge, you know, I think you would probably be able to articulate it better for me, is how do you prepare, how do you ensure that you're good at every position when it's hard enough just to be good at the major league level at one position?
Yeah.
So I think the expectations need to be different from an organization when they do that with a player. It needs to be the right guy who has both the mental mindset and the athletic ability to be able to handle playing multiple positions. But and it may still be that when we get a better idea of how our major league club projects over time, that he slots into one position. But the versatility and the flexibility to be able to play him at, you know, first, second, you know, third, left or right, you know, certainly give us a lot more flexibility in how we basically, you know, use him up here, get him at bats, protect other players from a health and durability standpoint, and then ultimately maybe adjust to him playing one position at one point when the time's right.
Yeah, now, what you may have just answered this. What would it take for you seeing him in the minor leagues for us to see him this year at the big league level?
I'm surprised you guys are asking that after going from 10 days ago reading that we were the worst organization in the world for keeping Vladimir Guerrero Jr. down in the minor leagues, and now reading where he's not prepared to be in the big leagues. So, listen, I'm a player development guy. You know, my roots were, you know, 7 years and as a farm director, and you know, I've seen hundreds and maybe thousands at this point of players transition to the major leagues.
Yeah.
You know, 30 days in AAA doesn't make a major league player. So I don't know if there's ever a set point, a set time. I do know that I think it's better to err on the side of being conservative and give guys time to build a strong foundation. And the better foundation they have when they get here, the better chance, and it's still not assured, they have to stay here once they arrive. So I still feel like that level is relatively new to him. And you know, most players benefit from settling in and getting some strong experience, going through a slump, making adjustments, and, you know, dealing with some of the realities of a new level. But he's, listen, the bottom line is, Kevin, he's a AAA. He's one level away from here. So the next level he graduates to is going to be the major leagues.
Great point.
Mark, how has Lourdes Gurriel Jr. Handled going down to AAA, and where is he and where does he need to be to get back up here?
Yeah, he's positive. He's gone down there and immediately just settled in and been a leader. You know, so I think at this point it's just a matter of, you know, Ross, Charlie, and our baseball operations staff, you know, determining and deciding when the best time to bring him back is, you know, what the best position and what the best transition process back is. But he's certainly gone down there and performed. He's certainly gone down there and worked on his defense, as well as, you know, played multiple positions like he was doing up here.
You also mentioned us in spring training. I mean, I'm intrigued by the trend in baseball towards players playing multiple positions. And it's not just the Blue Jays.
It's everybody almost
that's doing it. And you talked at spring training with Stephen Brunt and myself about, you know, you guys have a fair amount of depth in terms of the middle infield up and down throughout the system. And at some point there may be a discussion about actually transitioning guys into outfield positions off infield positions. Have you guys identified, you know, minor league infielders, second baseman, shortstop, third baseman, whatever, who, you know, you may be looking at now as transitioning into full-time outfielders, not just necessarily versatile guys, but full-time outfielders?
Not full-time. I think we know we have flexibility to do it with certain guys. And again, I think Ross will be the guy to kind of talk about when, you know, when that time is right. And he considers that, you know, we've made a firm evaluation with our, you know, with our existing group of players. But again, I think we want to ensure that we, you know, don't make short, quick, you know, hasty judgments of, you know, guys that, you know, it may be you feel frustrated watching from a month or 2 months and be able to make a decision. But the history of the game tells you, you know, don't make a decision too quickly. So, you know, we're going to commit to the guys that are up here playing right now till we feel like we have enough information. I remember, you know, with Brandon Phillips, he hit 194 or something like that, you know, in his time. And I think he had almost 700 at bats in the big leagues with us, with the Indians. And, you know, we had to give up on the guy. Timing was, we were a contending team and we couldn't commit to keep playing him, hitting that. Obviously traded for him, knowing his pedigree, traded for him, knowing that he was a great player. He had played well in the minor leagues, and we literally could not find a major league team to take him. You know, when we finally convinced the Reds to trade for him because we didn't want to put him on waivers. And he went on to, obviously, I don't know how many All-Star games he played in and Gold Gloves he won, and was a great major league player for a long period of time. So, you know, I can cite, you know, probably dozens of players where, you know, if you're just patient and commit. I remember the Twins with Torii Hunter when he was coming up. So, you know, you've got to commit. You've got to stay tough. You've got to, if you believe in the talent, you believe in the ability, and you look at a track record that, you know, says that most players like this usually, you know, will achieve if they're given the opportunity to transition, you know, you'll be rewarded. But, you know, it's not always easy day to day and along the way. Again, I'm sure Kevin's seen, you know, hundreds of those guys he's played with in the minor league.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to switch gears a little bit. You just mentioned patience and transitioning, and I want to ask you about Elvis Luciano. You know, you watch him here at the big league level come out of the bullpen, makeup. You know, makeup, you can't really teach that. You either got it or you don't. He has stuff, too. And then I just wanted to ask you where you ultimately see him down the road. Is he a starter in the making for you?
Well, I mean, there's no reason he shouldn't be a starter. He's 19 years old. He shouldn't be doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, he's 19 years old and hasn't pitched in a ball, and he's here, you know, at the major league level with, you know, a pretty regulated pulse and, you know, having some appearances and obviously some tough ones too, but some pretty darn good ones. And he's come in with bases loaded, and, you know, we're going to have to be able to use him to be able to survive this year and to keep him at the major league level. But I don't think there's a person that's seen him pitch from Pete Walker to Charlie to Ross to anybody else that doesn't think if we can get through this year, the goal would be to get him back and to develop him long-term as a starter. He's athletic, he's physical, he's big and strong, and he has multiple pitches. There's no reason he can't start.
Yeah.
You know, when we talked about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Mark, I think a lot of people thought that once he was up here, and I wasn't one of these people, I was more of a skeptic, but once he was up here, you know, attendance was going to increase dramatically, people were going to come out to see this prospect on a nightly basis. We saw Bumpa's first game, obviously. I'm just wondering, was that a realistic expectation? Did you feel that yourself? And just in terms of where ticket sales are at this point in the season, looking ahead to the summer, is there any indication you've had a bump in terms of advanced sales? And, you know, and kind of spinning off attendance a bit, between attendance and TV ratings, you know, how much of an impact might this have on payroll going forward?
That's a lot of questions.
Yes, it is.
I to be able to answer, so I'll try to answer that as concisely as I can, but it's going to be hard to maybe address every piece you threw out there. One, you know, everybody has different opinions. I will forever, you know, believe and forever communicate that, you know, fans don't come to see individual players. They come to see winning teams, and then they fall in love with the players that are part of winning teams and then become attached to those players. So I think what's most important is that we continue to work to build a winning team. And it's already been clearly and, you know, demonstrated what happens here and across this country, you know, when the Blue Jays are a winning team. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're focused on, whether or not there's a short-term bump of marginal meaning, you know, for an individual player. You know, I don't get caught up in that. You know, I try not to get too caught up in any one player. Baseball, you can't win with one player. You know, you're going to need it to build a strong team. One super talented player certainly can help. But again, this is not the NBA, you know, this is a very different model. So, you know, we're focused not on collecting talent, but on building a team. When it comes to payroll, when we're in, you know, the mode that we're in now, the size of payroll is not even an issue. I mean, it's not a conversation, you know, we're trying to transition a lot of young players. It's really more every time we sign a veteran player, it's usually to protect, you know, us having to force young players that we don't feel are ready to be here or to add something to the culture and the values. Otherwise, it's opportunity that we could be committing to a young player that we're giving to a veteran player. So, you know, that said, you know, there will be a juncture of time, and again, this is a little redundant, where payroll will have to outpace revenues. And I think that you guys won't need to ask me when that is. It'll be when everybody kind of looks up and goes, oh, they're good. They're going to be really good in like a year, but they are good now. And when that starts to happen, you know, we're going to need to go out there and figure out where to supplement, where to add, and how to take us from maybe an 85-win team to a 90-win team. And it's probably going to take some outside help for that.
You know, you just made a very interesting comment that I think that we don't focus on a lot when you were talking about adding veteran players to, quote, protect young players, you know, or to add players to help create that culture you want. That is an important part of development, isn't it? Is having players who can protect the young guys, whether it's in the lineup or in terms of just buying them extra time.
Yeah, I mean, listen, what you don't want to do is have to force, you know, either use patterns at the major league level or, you know, development paths based on need at the major league level. That is not ideal. So that's why when we, you know, that's why a Matt Shoemaker going down hurts. And, you know, there was some questioning from media experts, like, why are they signing veteran players? Well, when we were doing that, it was often to, you know, not to have to force a decision before a player was ready to be up here. And it's easy to adapt and adjust once they are.